Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. Kerry Canning is in for a conversation today on the podcast. Kerry and I have known each other for quite some time. Kerry's the co-founder and director of HR Advice Online. Welcome.
Thank you, Kathy. It's so lovely to be here today in a gorgeous Melbourne day as well.
Oh, it is too. Got that little glimmer of blue. We always get a bit excited on that front. So we've got, you know, an agenda of about 35 things to get through, but and we will stray, I hope, because we always have good conversations when we catch up. Tell us a little bit about HR Advice Online.
Absolutely. So, Kathy, as you know, you were there at the beginning of our journey. So
yes.
12 years ago, HR Advice Online was born. And basically we describe ourselves as an outsourced HR team for small businesses around Australia. So anything that a HR team would do in a large organisation, we do, but we do it for small business clients. And so they are things like, you know, at the end of the phone, you've got our beautiful HR advisory team of real human beings based here in Melbourne that have got great practical knowledge of HR. So it's any question about, goodness me, how much do I pay someone when they're working on a Saturday in my clinic to...
I got asked that just yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You know, we get it all the time. It's like, you know, is that overtime or is that normal rate of pay or which award does that apply for? Or, you know, through to I need to restructure and make a couple of roles redundant and I have no idea what to do to, yeah, what's this thing called, an award? So it's that very practical advice holding business owners' hands about everything to do with HR.
And what I love about your work is that you've got some track record across many industries, but in 2011, you were kind of pioneering this space.
It's funny, isn't it? When I look back now and go, we were, because our model is all of our team, we all work from home. So we've never had an office. We never planned to have an office. And what we did was we looked at, so what do people need for HR? So they need documentation, so employment contracts, performance management, policies, handbooks. They need a real human being to talk to about my real issue. And then they want to know when things have changed, but more importantly, what do they need to do? So we thought, you know, you can get software products, you can have consultants. Why don't we create this kind of model, which is a membership model, where clients sign up for 12 months minimum. They can pay by the month. It's really cost effective and they get everything in one bundle. So there's no surprises about I'm going to get an extra invoice. It's a set and forget fixed monthly fee. And, you know, we're talking $3,000 a year, Kathy. It's a very minimal expense. So what happens is people know they've got, it's like buying insurance. They're managing the risk. They know they've got people at the end of the phone and email to talk to.
The big piece that once business owners get this, they are totally clients for life, is this whole thing around compliance.
Yeah.
And HR is a classic, classic moment that you do not know what you do not know.
Correct.
And you can't just ask your friends at the barbecue. You can't only go to your lawyer friend of a friend of a cousin.
Correct.
Because it's so nuanced. I remember getting HR advice gazillions of years ago in my first business and my mind was blown at the complexity of it and the detail and what my I had no clue what my responsibilities were.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? So people will say, oh, I've got this great policy or I found a contract and I've Googled it and I go, fabulous. And then what we dig into it, we had a client recently where he said, where did you get, again, not being critical, but just help me understand where you got this from. Oh, I found it on the internet and it actually related to employment law in the States, for example. And it's like, so, you know, it looks good on the surface. And, you know, one of the common things that people say to us, Kathy, is, well, I've only got a couple of employees or one.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter or I don't need it. And I go, no, you don't. you don't think you need it, and I'm not going to overcomplicate and tell you all the things that you do know that I know, but let me just ask you a couple of questions. So, again, along the, you know, the since 2011, we've evolved and created a few new things. For example, if a client's just hiring their first employee and they're not even thinking about policies and handbooks, we go, just let us help you create the employment contract to start with. We just do that as a little project, a fee for service. You've got that. You get to know us. And then you'll start and evolve and think, oh, well, now I need this and now I need that. So we kind of, well, the beautiful thing of having your own business, as you know, is that you can slice and dice what you do to fit.
Yeah. And so this whole piece around fair work and compliance, it's a mystery to so many. But once you start to get into conversation with trusted professionals, you get a bit more confident and a bit more, you kind of calm down about it, if you like.
Oh, you do. And I always say my job is to demystify the process. So, for example, a client might say, I can't do this. I can't terminate someone because what if I end up with an unfair dismissal claim? I said, well, let me just explain to you what actually happens.
Yeah.
So if you get an unfair dismissal claim, and, of course, every employee has the right, here's what you can expect. You know, you get a form that looks like this. You put this information in there. You know, if you've gone through the right process, you evidence that. So, sure, you might end up, there may be some form of settlement, but if you've done all the right things and, you know, followed process and it's a reasonable outcome, then what you may have to pay, if anything, is very much reduced. Yep. So you kind of demystify that for them because people think, oh, I've got to pay 6 months, I've got to reinstate them, my name's going to be out there. No. So I think when you take that fear away, people go, oh, okay, now I feel more comfortable.
Fear is such a key word to drop in there, Kerry, because sometimes business owners don't grow or don't have the courage to grow because the fear is screaming louder than the I want to expand and help and work with more people piece, because there just is that lack of information and understanding. And so we'll just stay in our shell and, you know, hope it all works all right.
Absolutely. And as you know, it's all about the headlines. So, you know, the scary headlines out there about, oh, this sector's been targeted or these people have had to do a back payment. So, you know, we don't know what we don't know. So, therefore, we say, well, I'll just kind of.
Who knows that stuff?
Who knows that stuff, exactly. Yeah.
So who are your clients?
So our clients, I always say our clients, so first of all, we operate Australia-wide and we operate in every sector and every industry. So there's 120 plus modern awards to give you an example of categories.
Yay.
And we do A to Z, but we don't have a zoo yet. So we haven't got a zoo yet. So we're looking for a Z. So we'll have to think of where we can do that.
A zucchini grower.
A zucchini grower, you're absolutely right. That could be
a good diversify. One. Yep,
absolutely. But in terms of, and for your audience, so we're very proud to announce and confirm that we are the partner of choice for HR for ALPA, which is the Allied Health Professions Australia.
I'm so excited to hear that.
And which is why we've got so many opportunities for us to continue to work together. So, you know, they have a number of, we think about their structure. So their organisation is the peak body, and within them they have members. So 30 plus member organisations. So some examples might be Audiology Australia or Australian Chiropractic Association or Music Therapy. So we do a lot in that space. And even before we partner with ARPA, we've had lots of clients in the allied health space and health broadly. So when I say A to Z, this we could be talking about a practice of an audiology clinic, for example, that's been with us for so many years. And they've got a number of clinics around Melbourne and throughout Victoria. We've got the Counselling Association. So they're working with practitioners. So we've got, if you like, two levels. So the membership organisation themselves and then all of their practitioners, some of which are students, some of which are working in private practice, and a lot that are running their own businesses with maybe one or two employees or sometimes 10 or 30.
Yeah. I think having that broad portfolio of industries is really, really helpful and really strengthens the advice that you can bring and the guidance you can bring to the allied health piece. But having some nuanced allied health working language and concepts, and I'm sure you've heard about the NDIS and all of those bits and pieces, that just really sharpens it as well. Like,
Absolutely. And I'll give you an example. You know, we had a call, it was last year actually, from someone that had found us on Google. So Google's, you know, certainly no issue with Google as long as you use it for not downloading employment contracts. Who said, hey, we're an NDIS provider. We're in regional New South Wales. I've got this SHADS award, which I'm sure a lot of your clients know about. And Kerry, we can't work out these meal breaks and, you know, is it overnight and do we do this? So, again, they're not a membership client. They said, you know, really, we're just happy to come to you every now and again and get some advice. So, and they happened to be in a town, and we were, of course, talking about the town that they were living in. So we've helped them. And then only, you know, 2 months ago, they came back and said, now I've got another query. Can you help me? So yeah. I think, you know, that sector is it, you know, there's complexities, particularly around, you know, going into people's homes, whether you're working in practice and people are coming to you, employees, contractors, some of those little nuances, Kathy.
Yeah.
It, you know, this is all we do. You know, this is all we specialize in is what does the letter of the law mean and how does it apply to your business in your sector?
Let's change gears a little and chat about COVID, because we're still chatting about COVID. We're in Melbourne. We are still processing the last shreds of COVID. But when we were kind of talking the other week, COVID is leaving us some good stuff and some not so good stuff. What have you observed in this? What have you observed during COVID? And then what are some of the key issues that you guys are still dealing with post COVID?
And you're right. So, you know, 2022, who would have thought we'd still be saying the C word, but we are. So certainly during the time, so initially, as I'm sure all of your listeners will appreciate and understand, there was this amazing, particularly in Victoria, overnight we need to adapt and then the rest of Australia and the world. I've got people now, they need to work from home. So, you know, what are we going to do with that? How do they work from home? How does that, you know, just
what is working from home?
You know, do you have to have an office? Do you have to have what equipment? The checklist that you do from a health and safety perspective. So we had that initial, okay, let's just get people working remotely. So let's do that first of all. Then we sort of transitioned through a few things around, obviously, vaccinations. So mandates, you know, so particularly in health. So mandated to be able to do it. What do I do if my employee doesn't want to be vaccinated or not yet?
Oh, my gosh, the things you forget.
I know, isn't it funny? Because I was only having this conversation the other day with someone, in fact, yesterday, with somebody where the sector was mandated and they refused to. It's like, well, you can't run your business. Mm. Like, you just cannot do it if you're not going, you know, you have to evolve. So we've had that. The other thing that's really interesting is around a mindset, and I'm going to talk about this from a business owner and a manager or leading people. So when people used to physically come somewhere to go to work, we had time and attendance. So you come to the workplace, you do your work, and we pay you for the hours that you work. We now have people that are remote, so we can't physically see them, even if you're on Teams all day. So we've moved from time and attendance to what I believe we should always have been doing, which is actually about output.
Yeah.
So, and we've done this with our team. We've never had a physical office. We've always done remote working. So it's about, here's what you need to achieve, whether that takes you 3 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours, or 3 a.m. or 10 p.m., quite frankly, doesn't matter. Mm. So this mindset of moving managers to trust, set up very clear guidelines and deliverables. So, Kathy, do what you need to do in the time that works for you, and as long as you achieve this outcome, great. Now, I understand if we're doing some hands-on practical treatment, that can be more challenging, so I'm not disregarding that at all. But it is about that, you know, we're not doing that 24/7, so what are the other bits that we're doing? So I think what's been really great and the positive carrying through is certainly that, so the performance management leadership style, our language, trusting people, treating them as adults, so therefore setting up some more different systems, so that's been fantastic. And also people, employees and employees, thinking about what's important in the world anymore. So, you know, we've seen a lot of people that have changed their hours and their structure for their work, their mental health. So my experience, because a lot of our team are permanent part-time, is they're way more productive because I come to work, I know what I'm doing, I know what I can deliver, and I can do my other things as well.
Yeah. From a manager's point of view, the piece around sort of output is you actually need to know what output you want and need from your team.
And this is, so if we took performance management broadly, I say to people, so you've got your new person's come on board, fabulous, and it's all really exciting at the start, and we go, you know, and then at some point in time we might say, well, I wonder if they're doing a good job, and yeah, I think I am.
What's
a good job? So how do you know? So I always say to clients, begin with the end in mind. So let's think end of day one, end of week one, end of month three, end of month six. How am I going to know if this person is capable of doing their work? So there's the cultural fit and all of that, but in terms of what will they need to have demonstrated? And then you match your KPIs. So, example, we had a new team member start on Monday, and I said, all you need to do on day one is make sure that you put your voice message on your mobile phone, the business mobile phone, and that you've got your email working and you know where to look. That's it.
Yep.
Then by the end of day three, we're going to make sure that you've been able to do X. So, and that might sound a bit micro, but I tell you what, Kathy, if you get that right, your employee and your manager both know. There's no surprises.
Yeah. Yep. And it is such a good reminder about how specific to be with what you expect the lovely humans to be doing with you and in your team.
Because you know your business, you're doing it every day. It's hard to get all of that out of your head. So to be able to articulate, so again, project forward, it's now 3 months I'm doing a review, or 6 months, the end of the probation period. How will we both know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So back to the COVID piece and this post-COVID era, or what, I don't even know what this phase is called. I don't know. The media, checking out a media a fair bit at the moment. What about the great resignation? Is that a thing? Mm.
Isn't that funny? And I think you and I were talking about this the other day, and in fact, just as early as this morning, there's a third term. So we've got great resignation, we've got quiet quitting.
Oh, we've got to talk about that. Yep.
And we've got quiet firing. So let me talk the great resignation. That's literally hot off the press this morning, Kathy.
Wow.
So let's go back to great resignation. So great resignation is I'm an employee. I'm now working from home, and a lot of that was done over in Melbourne. So, you know, the start of that sort of summer period when people traditionally start thinking about their world. So now what's happening is people are going, there's a few things going on. I'm now working from home. What do I really want to do in my world? There's some economic changes going around the world. As we know, interest rates are going up. There's pressure on mortgage rates, people's cost of living. You know, what is it, $10 for lettuce? I think we're back to about $4, but still. So people started thinking about, gee, am I going to go? Am I going to stay? So that was the great resignation. Now, some people certainly did. What we're then seeing is that there's also the grass is not necessarily greener.
Yeah.
So what we thought was going to be okay is not. So we've had this sort of the great resignation. Then we have quiet quitting, and quiet quitting is discretionary effort. Let me love all these terms. I don't know who thinks them up. So now I'm an employee and I'm thinking, okay, well, again, what do I want to do in my world? What do I want to do out of work? And my 24/7 focus on work maybe isn't that much anymore because it's not that important, because you know what? I or people I know may have been ill with COVID. Life is short. I'm reassessing. What that means is I'm still doing what I need to do my role, but I might be pulling my discretionary effort back. So I may not be adding the extra bits. Now, that might be temporary. And, again, this talks about culture and how do you keep people to stay and keep them re-engaged and invigorated. So there's sort of this move, you know, reassessment of what's important for me as a human doing work. And then, as I said this morning, was quiet firing. So some managers are going, you know what, this is all too hard. So I'm going to use a HR term, which is constructive dismissal. So the employee resigns because they feel they had no choice. So the manager can sometimes check out and go, this is all too hard. So I'm not going to do a formal performance process or disciplinary. I'm just going to also pull back a little bit. So if you think about it, you've got maybe an employee disengaging and a manager disengaging, and it's like, you know, in any relationship, seriously, rather than let's be adults and have a conversation and figure out what we want to do.
So is this about managers thinking, I just wish they would leave, I hope they leave.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I undermanage it, they'll just walk themselves out the door. Is that this, this syndrome? Okay.
Yeah,
there's absolutely a bit of that going on. There's a bit of that going on.
But and that might sound a little bit negative, but the flip side of that and the positive is that there are also businesses that we know that are adapting and doing things completely differently. And I put hand on heart, you know, when we started our business, I was like, all of our team really need to work at least some hours every day so there's continuity. Now it's like one does 3 days, one does 2 days, one does every day for a few hours. It changes and it evolves. And I think that's the key message, is that we have to, as business owners, revisit in this, again, I don't want to use a lot of jargon, but the war for talent. There's not many people out there, so how do you find the right ones?
But it also, it's challenging. It's challenging thinking, because you go into business for some reasons and some motivations, and they're often the first ones you lose. And then you're sideswiped by market demands and economic demands, and you think you roll with that, but business can be really relentless, and this adaptability piece is the card that you're playing day after day after day.
Absolutely. And the resilience. We've all had them as business owners. Some days you just go, "Oh, I think I'm in a bit of an overwhelm. What am I going to do?
I'm going down the beach.
I'm going for a walk." So it's, you've got to have people around you, whether it's a business partner, whether it's a family, your significant other, your friends, colleagues in that network, to be able to go, "Bleh, this stuff is really hard and I don't know what to do." And we all know, you get up the next day and something happens and you go, "Oh, I feel pretty good today.
I've got enough in the tank. We can give this another spin."
Absolutely. Of course we can. So,
So very, very interesting around this quiet quitting and quiet firing. I'm going to reflect on that. That's really, really interesting. What are you observing about recruitment, particularly in the allied health space?
Yeah. Absolutely. So the recruitment is, the narrative is, gee, there's not many people around there, it's already hard to get them. Okay. Well, in my experience,
That's a no, though. Like that, I don't even listen to that stuff anymore.
I don't either. And it's been forever. Good people are always hard to find.
Yeah.
No matter what the climate is. So my tips and stuff, and I talk to clients around that, is first of all, it's about prospecting. So pretend you're a real estate agent. What do? They're knocking on doors. They're building.
Hustle.
Prospecting. They're talking. So, you know, relationships with people, you know, so obviously the people coming through into this sector, where do they come from? So they go to university. So what's the relationship you've got with universities in your particular sector in allied health? Who are you networking with? Mm. What are you sharing and building your brand and presence online in social media? Where are these prospective people looking? It's no different to prospecting for clients. You're prospecting for employees. And the question I always get people to ask themselves is, why on earth would I work for you, Kathy Love? Why on earth would I work for you, Kerry Canning at HR Advice Online? There's other businesses maybe that are like Kathy. There's other businesses maybe like HR Advice Online. So what makes you different? And part of that is about, you're going to then attract the ones that you, people that you want.
Yep.
And also those that you don't want. So we will say to people, our business is not for you if you are looking for A, B, and C. If you want D, E, and F, we're your girls. Come talk to us.
Mm.
So the recruitment is, what are you doing along that, you know, that pipeline? So building people and looking at things differently. So, you know, if people are still at uni, what can you do in terms of placement and getting them in to have the experience, and then, you know, bringing them in
that
way? Who are you talking to out there just in your general socialization at barbecues and at functions? Talking to them about, hey, we're in growth phase, we're looking. We've been saying that for years. We're growing, even though we didn't through COVID, because one day we will be.
Mm.
And then people say, hey, I know someone that needs to talk to you.
Gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we love to chat with allied health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you, and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
In the allied health business world, it's harder than you think to stay on top of everything you need to do to run a business whilst being fully present for your team and clients. If you struggle with this, you're not alone. Pretty much everybody feels this way. Some days you feel like you're crossing a decent task off just to be reminded that you then have three new tasks to take at their place. The to-do list feels like it never ends. It can be overwhelming doing it all on your own, and that is why we took it upon ourselves to reach out to help you out. We have created our monthly masterclasses so that you can join and connect with others, learn bite-sized business skills, and best of all, walk away from our masterclass with tasks ticked off your list. We can guarantee that each session will provide you with at the very least 5 gems that you can take and put into action right there and then. And trust us, as soon as you hop off our short and sweet session, you will want to take immediate action, because that is the effect that Kathy Love and these masterclasses have. Each masterclass tackles a topic that has been niggling in the back of your mind and has moved further and further down your list. However, the sooner you nip this in the bud, the sooner you will free up your time and see the results in your business. Ready to nip your business woes in the bud and start taking practical action to maximize your results this year? Join one of our monthly masterclasses today.
We're thrilled to bits that we're hearing from our clients is that they are getting applicants for their jobs now.
Yay!
And that speaks to, you know, that's sort of getting an applicant is the tip of the iceberg. It's just the bit you see. And what you spoke to and all the help we give our members, and we've got some real tools and tactics, and we really get in and support the stuff you can't see is just positioning yourself in the market, personal brand, business brand, your employee value proposition is what we call it, and how important it is to have that. And you've got to be findable. You can't sell a secret. Like popping an ad up on Seek and then coming and sort of saying, what else do I do? Well, there's a 999 other things.
Indeed. So adding to that, I'm not sure about your audience, how much and how active they are on LinkedIn. And I have again been in a couple of minds around LinkedIn. We've certainly changed. And I think LinkedIn is absolute gold for recruitment.
Yep.
And following the right people and being connected and being seen as a thought leader out there. It's like, you know, if I can go to, you know, for example, this chiropractic clinic versus that chiropractic clinic, and this one I'm seeing, wow. And not just about the work they do, but again, one of our clients does this amazing social media around their team. They just have fun and they post what the team do. So that's your EVP in picture of people seeing, going, wow, they did, this is a team event, or they just went out for lunch together, or they celebrated a birthday. It doesn't have to be a big event. But it's demonstrating your culture and, again, the why work for me through visual.
Yeah. I am hopeful that this mobility, if we sit with the idea that the volume of the workforce is the same and going to be staying the same, we know there's people leaving Allied Health at an alarming rate, but there's also graduates coming in. Oh. So the volume, I think, is about the same. It means that you're going to have to play differently and work really differently. But whilst volume is the same, mobility is just going up and up and up. And I've noticed that candidates are moving states as well.
Yeah.
And that they're more mobile than previously. They might have just kind of, you know, crossed town or driven 20 minutes in a different direction. There's a little bit of curiosity and wanting a bit more variety, and they haven't been able to travel, but they might not want to go overseas, so they'll go interstate as well. And I think these are all really, really good signs, really good spring signs that there's a bit more choice out there.
I would agree. And again, obviously it depends on, Allied Health is very broad, but it depends on the position. So some can be done remotely, some are obviously hands-on. Yeah. So it's about figuring out what you can do and how you could do the role. So I just challenge us to kind of reset our mindset and go, right, so here's why we would normally do the role. Could it be done a different way that's more attractive and appealing to people, and how am I going to stand out around that?
Yeah. And then you've got to stand to what you pitch out there in your recruitment regime. And so let's just say you get the next clinician, your ideal teammate coming in. You've got to then deliver on what you said you were going to deliver. And that I just so often worry a little bit that the onboarding experience for people coming in is a little suboptimal, and that onboarding stuff is probably the most important. We talk about 100 days onboarding curriculum. It just sets the stickiness, really kind of sets the scene for what it's going to be like working with them. What don't business owners do enough of in that onboarding piece, do you think?
Yeah. So I think there's the, so let's take that. So we've recruited someone, we're all excited, yep. We're in the very early stages, you've got your contract, you've given notice, and whether it's 1 or 4 weeks, at some point in time you're going to join this new company.
Yep.
So what are you doing from the time the contract is signed?
Oh, good point. Yeah.
So again, I'll just share something that we do. As soon as we used to send the letter of offer with a bunch of flowers or a bottle of something to the candidate. Mm. We now wait, because it's all done electronic, we get the employment contract back signed, and then the flowers or the gift arrives sometime in that space, just out of the blue. They're not expecting it in terms of a welcome. We're so excited about having you on board. Again, when with the person's permission, we will do things like and recommend that they have a Teams meeting with some of the other team members. So talk to your colleagues, get to meet them. Now, whether they're involved in the recruitment process or not depends on your business, but let's say they're not as much. That's very much part of it as well. So you've got that period between, as I said, 1 to 4 weeks. So what are you doing to keep engaged? And asking the person what they would like. Can I send you, would you like to see some of our communication? Would you like to be involved, to what level? Then we start, and I mentioned.
But I want to add in that this nurturing and engagement really helps minimize the risk of ghosting.
Correct. Absolutely it does, Kathy, because you've already started. You're in a relationship. So, you know, that you're pretty confident they're going to turn up on day one.
But there's so many stories when they quit via text the night before.
Correct. You go, what's that all about? You know, so why is that? So what can you do to keep engaged in that period of time? And I'm not just talking about monetary things. I mean, I use the example of flowers, but just the communication. We're humans and we want to be engaged as human beings with relationship. So then first day comes. I mentioned before about, you know, KPIs and setting the what does day one look like, day three, doing that pre-work, and where you can, if they're okay to, you email that beforehand. So let's say, for example, day one, I know your hours are normally 9 to 5, but on day one, don't come in till 10 o'clock. And if you're driving, here's where you park. And we've organised a buddy for you, or we're going to catch up and have a cuppa. And then articulate what day one looks like on day one. So as I mentioned before, all you have to do is put your voice message on your mobile phone and get your email working. That's it. So what are the expectations? And spell that out. So give them a bit of a table of what the first few weeks, months look like. I think that's really important because it's known. We're taking away that uncertainty. People want certainty. So I think there's some things onboarding really, really important, and where you can, buddy them up with a peer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's someone that's been there for a long time, someone's been there for a short time. And then we have this thing that we call, for want of a better word, it's a 6-week in chat, but you can use it at any time. But it's basically we're going to get together and have a conversation, but I'll send you something beforehand so you can think about it. So is the job what you thought it was going to be? What have you loved about your experience since you've joined? If you had your time again, is there anything that we could do differently for you again to improve on our system, process, whatever? Is what we said it was going to be, what it is in terms of culture, values, experience, and what are you looking forward to the most over the next 3 months? So something that's just a stop to reflect, that we don't take this for granted.
Yeah, and that brings in that commitment to improvement, and that your most recent team member is actually, you know, contributing to the onboarding of the next person as well. So that feedback just strengthens your systems and the experience for them and the whole team.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing what you hear through that. It's some things that you would never even thought about that are really important to one person or not another. And that just helps you, which is the other thing, is it's not just a template. So we start with a framework, but everyone is different. So the more that you can find out what truly motivates the individual, the better that not just the onboarding experience is going to be, but the whole retention. And, you know, we do that from obviously the recruitment at the start, but the lived experience when you start with us.
Yeah. Random question. Have you read the book, The 5 Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'm going to gift it. No. Oh. Leave it. I'm going to gift it to you.
Are you? Oh, how exciting.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love it, but
I'll find out. Isn't it good? You kind of get the gist of it, but it talks about those personal motivations and how to identify what is personally rewarding for different people.
Oh, I love it, Kathy. And we use, a lot of our clients use as well, you know, some behavioral profiling in terms of people's preferences. So it's like, you know, do these people need a bit more detail, or do they need a bit more space, or do they, you know, it's a human interest, like what works for them? Yeah. So you add all of this. At the end of the day, we, as I said, we're living, breathing humans and we want to connect.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you actually want your good people to stay.
Right.
And to keep coming to work and to be happy to do so, and they're on purpose and they're productive as well. And I've been saying for a couple of years now that retention is the new recruitment.
Yeah.
I don't know how popular that is out there, but it seems to resonate. So what are your thoughts about retention and keeping the right people for the right reason, for the right amount of time as well? Because they're going to have to leave at some point. But
well, that's exactly, and that's it. So there's a couple of things around that I would add. Is one is, first of all, if you think about the role, so what's a reasonable expectation for someone to stay in this role? Now, that varies. For some, it's 2 years. For some, it's 5 years. Some, it could be forever. So think about that first of all and be upfront about that. In terms of, hey, this particular role, we know that typically people come in, they last, you know, a couple of years, and then they might move on or move up or move across, or it's a, you know, forever type role. So there's that part, I think, is really important. Then in terms of, you know, I mentioned before about a 6-week in chat. So again, depending on how long they've been there and what the size of your business is, a brown bag lunch. So a similar conversation.
What is that?
You know what a brown bag is? So you know when we used to go to school and we'd have a brown paper bag and we'd have our sandwich and an apple and a drink in it. So you actually have or you do your tuck shop order. So you get your brown bag and you actually have a lunch and learn. So we're going to do a brown bag lunch over lunch and we're going to just have conversations. So an expansion of that 6-week in chat in a smaller group. So someone that's been here 5 years, 10 years, 2 months, 3 weeks, whatever it might be, a mix of people. And that is, tell us how you describe our company and our culture and our business to your friends, about where you work. So again, it's what it's doing is the reflection piece, but actually bringing back to the forefront and more conscious about why I actually love doing what I'm doing as an employee. And some of those other questions about improvement as well. So I think that's more in a group and from a culture perspective. The other things are having regular one-on-ones. So, yeah. You know, ideal once a month, one-on-one, half a dozen questions. And I'm going to give you a couple. So, you know, performance management without sounding too formal, if you like, which is, so let's say it's once a month. So, Kathy, tell me about your greatest experience over the last month. Like what's your highlight? What did you love? If you had your time again, what would you do differently faced with the same situation? Is there anything that you need different from me, from the business, from our colleagues? And when we sit down again in a month's time, what will you have achieved? What's going to be the big thing that you will have done? And are we still on track for those sort of 6-12 month goals? So really, rather than, hi, Kathy, how are you going? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Great.
How's work?
Yeah, good. Feels good. Like this is, you know, we just need to give people some prompters to start the conversation.
Yeah, it's such a good reminder about powerful, what we call powerful questions.
Yeah.
And so it's sometimes we ask questions that we know the answers to, or that we only want the answers to, rather than those bigger Socratic questions that really open up the conversation. You've got to be pretty brave to get to put those big ones out there.
Absolutely. So again, you know, don't ask if you don't want to know the answer, but really, and this is where as human beings often, you know, we can feel that it's not quite right, but it's a tough conversation and you don't want to upset people and you don't want to be.
You don't want them to leave.
And you don't want them to go. Yeah. So say, we love working with you and you just seem that, you know, again, could be right, could be wrong, but I just get a feeling things aren't quite right. You don't need to share anything, but if there's something to do with work that I can have an influence on, let me know. So that retention piece is just about constant conversation. So having a bit of a structure and process can help that, Kathy. Yep, and then the other thing is when the time comes, as it always does, to part ways, like in relationships, you know, hopefully you've got an environment where you can have an adult conversation.
Yeah.
And go, it's okay that it's time to go. I mean, we're just one of our gorgeous staff members who's been with us for 6 years has just recently left us. We've been having conversation about it for the last 12 months.
Yeah.
So it's no big surprise. It's like, it's okay.
Yeah. I recall some really steep learning around exactly this when I had my practice, and it was a complete and utter mental game changer when I realized that I that I had a temporary role in their career. And that my job was to show up and be the best possible manager leader for them in this chapter of their professional career.
Yeah.
And that I had done my job well when they left well.
Yeah. Isn't it an amazing shift? And there's kind of that aha moment that, wow, just because it's your business and you own it and you're passionate about it and you might have it forever, doesn't mean that your team will stay forever. So those whole pieces around what's a reasonable expectation for the life cycle of an employee in your business or in this role, what works for them, having regular conversations so that we don't go off on different tangents, and where we can we tweak, and where we can't, it's also okay to acknowledge that.
Yeah. I think some black and white thinking comes in here though, and because it's an uncomfortable topic and you don't want to raise it, you just instantly call it a difficult conversation, and then it gets all chocolate coated with anxiety and avoidance and all of that stuff. What we like to call them is necessary conversations.
Oh, I love it. Necessary.
And if they're necessary conversations, they're necessary, and you don't leave a necessary conversation till it's triple XL. You start those necessary conversations when it's small and manageable, and you just do your best, the best you can to, de-escalate, or to, no, that's not a good word, but to just, manage it proactively.
And nip it in the bud. So, again, if you put a process in of a monthly one-on-one, it becomes, you've actually created an opportunity for conversations to happen.
Yeah, but you can still avoid all of those necessary topics, even still.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. And we are all humans and we absolutely do that. What we know is, as you say, things get become, you know, it's the mountain, isn't it? So it's a little drip and a little drip and a little drip and a little drip and all of a sudden it explodes. So we don't want to be in that situation. No. Nobody does, neither party.
No. Yeah. And it's where so much tension is created as the business owner and the business director. And I was talking to someone just this morning about when reflection, the practice of reflection, becomes rumination, and when that toxicity, and you just, it's getting gloomier and gloomier as well. Yeah. And some of this tension around leading yourself and leading team and what you avoid and, you know, what you haven't asked yet and what you haven't done yet. You've got to tap into that as a director, as a role.
And then sometimes you just have to, you know, as a manager, business owner, leader, it's like some people will never, ever resign. They just, for whatever reason, so they may not be enjoying it, but they're just not capable. And sometimes you actually have to do it for them. And they will thank you for it, but they're not capable of doing it themselves for whatever reason. So sometimes it is that tough love. Sometimes you just, and obviously within process and all of that, and with empathy and respect, but it just needs to get done.
Yeah. Got a great story. Someone I know very well had someone in their business, not an allied health business, had someone in their business. They came in as a graduate, was a really solid rock star employee, but the business owner said, "You've been here too long. If you're still here in 6 months, look out." And so he really had to coach the person out of the business to get broader life and work experience.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. And
Please leave. Get more life experience.
Exactly. And you hear a lot with family businesses, don't you? So
that might be
the end game, but we say in order for you've got to go out and experience the world. So you need to go and work in different organisations to be able to bring all of that extra different thinking and knowledge back in, not just, you know, progress through. So, yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? You know, the human journey.
Yes, yes. Which kind of gives me a bit of a segue about being a director and some of those motivations that you go into business for. Some of them pan out, some of them don't, some of them disappear really, really quickly. But one thing I've always admired about you, Kerry, is the lifestyle approach you have to your business and the lifestyle approach you have to being a director. And I happen to know how many games of golf you've played very recently on the long weekend. What are your kind of thoughts and tips about balance, broader balance? Neither of us like the work-life balance concept, but balance is perhaps the more useful part of it. How do you kind of get it all done?
Yep, that's a great question. Well, for a start, I'm blessed. I have a beautiful business partner. So that's terrific. So we share that load, if you like. I've got a great team. But our business is in its 12th year. I was the co-founder. And I remember, like you would have done, working in at the very start, I think you earn 20 cents an hour if you're lucky. You're working 24/7. You're always on. It's constant. So I had a very strong vision for the business that what we needed to create was something that was scalable, sustainable, and saleable. So whether we had one client or 1,000, we could scale it. It was sustainable in that the model kept evolving, so it was current and relevant, which meant that if I ever wanted to, I could sell it. And my first business partner did sell her 50% share for my new business partner who bought her in, who bought her out. So that was the start. So I'm digressing a bit. But in terms of beginning with the end in mind, I never wanted to be in a position where I was working 7 days a week. My personal lifestyle has always been that I can do things that I want to do. So I play golf a couple of times a week at least. So my Tuesday is my golf day. And unless there is a client, as happened yesterday, which happened to be a Tuesday, that had a particular issue that I needed to be there for, I just changed my golf day. That's my mental health, my recharge, my time to do. So I have lots of different, I guess, compartments in my business. So there's me as the business owner, me as a partner and a mother, me as, you know, on different committees doing different things. So a number of years ago, Kathy, I did tell people I played golf on a Tuesday. Now I say very proudly, Tuesday's my golf day. If it's urgent, you need me and we've got notice, I'm sure I can do it. So I'm very clear on those boundaries, and the whole business is not just Sally and I as owners, but our entire team. So it is making the time for yourself. Now, it took us a few years. So 2015, we hired our first employee, and that was hard for me to delegate. When I did and put some systems and structures in place, they do it way better than I could ever do it. So the balance and the lifestyle is critical. I'm taking 2 weeks off in November to go overseas with my son, and the business will run perfectly without me.
So important. Otherwise, you're a slave to the business.
Indeed. And now some days I'll come back from golf and I'm feeling enthused and I'll come in and I might spend an hour on the computer, but I don't have to. Or I'll get up the next morning and do something. So I'm very, that compartmentalizing my life, I've always done it. And now I'm in a beautiful position that we built a business that is sustainable and funds all of our lifestyles in our business. It continues to grow and affords that to our entire team. So the philosophy goes through the business. It's not where the directors, we don't have to work. So I'm very proud. And whenever I'm at a networking event or talking to people, I actually now say I have a fantastic business called HR Advice Online that funds my lifestyle to play golf. And my other passion is horse racing, and once a number of committees. So if you want to play golf or you want to go to the races, I'm your girl.
Two mighty fine options.
I think
kudos
so.
On that. Kudos on that. You've got to kind of stick to your intentions, or else you can just disappear into the weeds of business.
Well, you do, and you and I both know, I've had days, you've had them, where we sit down and you're at the computer 24/7, you actually don't recharge. So I think I'll just stay here a bit longer and do this, when in fact you have to go outside and have a walk.
Yep.
Or you have to just postpone something or delegate it to someone else, or just put your hand up and go, I'm a bit overwhelmed, I don't even know where to start.
Yep, drowning.
Yep, absolutely. So I very proudly share that story now. And I'm known now when I turn up at something, they go, you're the golf lady or you're the horse lady. And I'm really happy with that. I have to be known for my business, just as someone that hopefully can share some how we got where we got to.
Yeah, I think really important to kind of just call it how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's true, and it's my integrity. People will like it or they won't. That's okay.
Yeah. That's their stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think you're awesome. Thank you. Thank you for coming in and sharing some good stuff up.
It's my pleasure. It's been so much fun. And I love this space. I'm so passionate about human beings being the best version of them.
Yeah.
And how do we help them? What can we do? And how do we help? You know, as I said, I get it. We outsource everything that's not HR, because that's all we know. So, marketing and finance and bookkeeping. I mean, do what you do really well and then get those great, like you know, conversations you and I have about running businesses. It's just fantastic. So surround yourself with really great people.
Absolutely agree. Thank you.
It's my absolute pleasure. And thank you, listeners, for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.